to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of mystery. Later on, a story from The Whistler from the early 1940s, but right now, a later broadcast from the series Suspense, heard on June 26, 1960. It's John Forrest's story, Daisy Chain.
Another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
The Daisy Chain, written for Suspense by John R. Forrest.
When is it going to stop raining? That's what I ask myself.
Is that a knock or is it the storm?
That's hard to tell. It's cold, too. I put a shilling in the geyser an hour ago and the water's cold already. There are scientists who say the climate's changing a dead right.
It's a knock, I think.
Now, who'd be out tonight? Only that Daisy Chain murderer who escaped from jail would be out tonight. Now I see in the paper they're trying to locate his mother. Chances are they'll find them both drowned in the London rain. What I'm trying to say, only evil men...
Father, would... stop your silly nonsense.
No one with any sense in this knocker would be out. Go to the door, Sharon, please.
Yes, Father. Oh, how do you do?
Oh, better now. Thank you that I'm inside.
Oh, take off your coat. I'll put your umbrella over here.
I don't want to be a bother to anybody, but I'm alone now. Very much alone. And do you have a room to let?
I'm Pitchfield, dear. This is my daughter, Sharon. I'm the proprietor of the premises. Well, we do have one room to let. What's your name?
I'm Mrs. Grimes. Mrs. Hetty Grimes, that is. My husband was the late George Grimes of Manchester.
You're from Manchester, Mrs. Grimes?
Yes, indeed. Came all the way by train and then scuttled about in this rain. I was so grateful to see your sign.
Oh, well, you like the room. It has a grate and a cozy conservatory. I'm sorry about your husband, Mrs. Grimes. Was it recent?
Oh, mercy, no. It happened 35 years ago, but I never remarried. Oh. Well, largely because of my health. My back has given out several times. Just lately, too. How much rent do you charge for the room?
Well, I'm sure we can talk business in the morning, can't we, Father? Father, would you carry Mrs. Grimes' case into her room?
Oh, what a ride. All the way
from... We said Manchester, Mrs. Grimes.
This way, please.
I've been reading about the Daisy Chain murderer, Mrs. Grimes.
Oh, Father, stop playing detective. I'll get Mrs. Grimes' file going.
Never read papers anymore. Listen to third program because it puts me to sleep.
We're a little jittery. Right on top of the fog and rain, this Daisy Chain murderer escaped from jail, right from the hangman's noose, he did. You never heard about him in Manchester. I dare say everybody in England's heard about him now. Has to be hanged in 30 days. Oh, those poor girls. One in the sand at Bognor Regis, the other one... where was it, Sharon? Regent's Park.
Father, will you change the subject?
The last one at Hampstead Heath. He wasn't any Jack the Ripper. No, not this fine bucko. I'm talking about the killer I am. This one was artistic and sentimental. Left a daisy chain around the necks of his poor victim.
Please excuse Father, Mrs. Grimes. He's an amateur Sherlock Holmes.
I don't want to trespass on your good nature, but would you happen to have a glass of stout? My back is going out again, and I can tell her. I get such a clutch right in the small...
The heart of Manchester, Mrs. Grimes.
Oh, what an ugly old city it is. All the mills and coal. I'm so fortunate to find you good people with a room to let. After my bitter journey and... Oh, my back.
There are some nicer spots in Manchester.
Oh, yes, I lived in one of the better places. A lovely part of town for those in modest circumstances.
I'm sure you did. And this place
oh,
was...
Oh, dear. Thank you for the stout, young lady.
There you are.
Oh, yes, it was a beauty spot. I must remember the number. Well, no matter. Oh, 23-something. Daisy Bank Road.
Come tomorrow morning, we'll tell her to go. She gets a free night's lodging just because we
can't... Oh, Father, you're an old fuss.
Well, better be safe than sorry.
Well, if you're so worried, why don't you notify the inspector?
Well, I'm sure I'd feel out of place reporting a harmless old woman to the police.
Well, she's a harmless old woman. Why do you...
Well, she doesn't talk like the people of Manchester.
Shall we get the 10 o'clock news and go to bed?
I was never one to lean on the cautious side, you understand? But right now,
don't
what with one thing...
Don't you trust anybody, Father?
Well, I don't trust somebody from Manchester who doesn't talk that way. Nothing to be done tonight. As your dear mother used to say, may she rest in peace. Tomorrow will be a fairer day.
In just a moment, we will return for the second act of Suspense.
This is Jim Amici. Side swiping's a common type of traffic accident, and the excuses are just as common. He was hogging the road, says one driver about another, or it was raining hard, I couldn't see well, and so on and so on. But what are the real causes of such accidents? Cause? Poor judgment of clearance. Remedy? Allow a safety margin and drive within the limits of sure judgment. Cause? Lack of forethought. Remedy? Be alert. Cause? Plain lack of control. Remedy? A new attitude toward your responsibility as a driver. Sideswipe excuses are a dime a dozen, but they're no good at any price, and the cost may be very high. Don't look for excuses. Look for ways to avoid traffic trouble. And always remember, safety check your car and double check your driving.
Let me alone. Go away. I'm so tired. Go away.
Ma, it's me. It's Jimmy. Open the window.
How did you find me? How did you find me?
Mama, a little light. Not too much.
Oh, why didn't you leave me alone? Why didn't you... How did you find me? I've got a candle. Now. Wait a moment.
Oh, easy, Mama. Oh, Mama, I saw you leave your old pigs this morning. I watched you give the slip to the bobbins. Oh, you were clever, Mama.
Oh, they'll get you. Oh, my boy, they'll get you. I had to leave. I knew the bobbies would look for me and find you that way. You shouldn't have followed me. They'll get you for sure.
Not if you quiet down. Oh, well, it's great to be... I suppose this is home.
They keep saying you did it. You keep saying you didn't do it. Oh, my poor boy, when will it stop?
You got any food, Mama?
The papers write those dreadful things. And it's on the wireless all the time.
Mama, I want some food.
Oh, what horrible days these are. Horrible days. When you were a little boy, you'd go bounding to the park and bring me back flowers, singing and laughing. Oh, Jimmy. And then they started saying all those things about you. Oh, I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand it. It's got to stop. It's got to...
Oh, is cookies all you've got?
I only had a fire for a few moments, but there'll be tea.
How many people in the house?
Only two. The landlord and his daughter.
His daughter?
It's a slack season with them. Just two people live here.
What's the daughter like?
You wouldn't be asking about the daughter, Jimmy, if you were my little boy again. Don't you dare ask me about her. Oh, what manner of man have I raised?
You'll be raising the dead if you don't pipe down.
And you can joke about it. You, with the likeness already made of you at Madame Tussaud's.
I'll be staying with you, Mama. And you'll put me up, and you won't tell anybody anything. It'll be just like those other days. Tell me more about the daughter, Mama. What's her name?
May the good Lord have mercy on your soul.
Is this Inspector Crist?
Yes. Inspector, I let her room last night. A bad night, if you recall. An old woman took the room for a fortnight. Said she was from Manchester. Then this morning she announced her son had come a-visiting. Now, while I'm not naturally a suspicious man, I began to wonder about that Daisy chain.
Well, you're a lively one, all right. Well, there's no harm done. We'll have the light in no time. Matter of fact, we've had a call from our station in the south of England saying a boy answering the description has been picked up. So you can stop worrying.
Oh, thank you, Inspector.
It's all right.
Why, I just wanted to make certain.
At it again, Father. What did you find out?
Scotland Yard has them all right. Or think they have.
You know what curiosity did to the kitten?
Hey, so look here, do you think you ought to chat so much with that boy? You know, you spent all morning talking to him.
He recites such lovely poetry. Such a nice voice he has.
Never worked a day in his life.
He's had a lot of schooling. He speaks well.
Well, you mind yourself now, yeah? I'm off to the city.
Goodbye, Father.
So, your kind old father warned you about my offish ways. What does he know about me? I bet he was offended because I recite poetry.
Jimmy, you were listening.
Well, I couldn't help hearing. Ah, what a beautiful day for the pure in heart. A day when a morning sun salutes its own, the very young.
You have quite a way with words.
A much better approach when I'm out of doors on the grass, listening to nightingales. When peace comes dropping slow. What say we hie off to the greengrocer's? We get some bread and cheese, some grapes and wine, and dine like royalty under the trees. Eh? I know a place on the riverbank.
Oh, I couldn't. It's bad form.
Just a picnic in broad daylight?
Jimmy! Jimmy!
Let's go right now.
But that's your mother. No.
She just can't let me out of her sight. On with us. Come on, let's go.
Jimmy, I can't.
Quick. Or no picnic. But the dear old Thames is not ugly up toward the source.
Do you know that country?
Well, a little bit. When I was a boy with my parents. That was before we moved to London.
Nice memories.
Yeah. Then the Blitz. Both killed, 1940.
Oh. Oh, Mrs. Grimes isn't your mother.
No, she adopted me. One of those war orphanages. Raised me since I was four. Oh, I'm like her own son, she says. Sharon, we're really alone here. Behind the heather. Ah, to be us. Plague the weather. Who can see us?
Whose immortal lines are those?
Fellow named Grimes. Yeah, a great poet. A fine scholar. And a man. A man who would like very much to be a gentleman.
Oh, you really wrote that? I thought it was Swift or Moore or somebody.
You have a fine mind, my lady. Discerning one, too. But as I was observing, we are quite alone. Now, who really can see us?
It is a bit secluded, isn't it? Oh, that Bobby over there can see us.
What, where? What Bobby?
Oh, you're tipping over the basket. That Bobby over there, he's coming this way.
Not a word. Don't talk to him.
What's going on with you? You're shaking.
Let me talk.
But you nearly spoiled the sandwiches I made. Jimmy, you're still shaking.
Afternoon. Good day for a picnic. You'd better early look at the clouds.
Yeah, it's clouding a bit. Always does this time of year.
Everything all right?
Yeah, quite.
Since all the murders last year, we talk to the people now and then and ask them the time of day.
Well, it's time he was eating now.
Better be watching the rain clouds. Afternoon.
Why do you act so strangely? He wasn't going to hurt you. He was very pleasant.
Yeah, they all are, for a while. If I pick you some daisies, may I have a sandwich?
Oh, look. Daisies all around us.
Well, do I get the sandwich?
Of course you do. But first the daisies.
Well, all right. But let me help you get up. Oh, would you hand me the bottle of wine?
You like daisies, Jimmy?
Oh, where I used to live, we got fields of them. We lived on Daisy Bank Road.
Look out, you're filling it. the wild look on your face. Better take it off. We're having company again. This time two Bobbies, the same one and a friend.
On your feet. Come on, do as I say.
What?
Yeah, walk this way. Only fast. Just keep looking overhead as though you fear the rain. Fast! Hey, come on now, lively!
Jimmy!
Get to the edge of the park. Take the first tram, and I'll be along later. Yeah, get going!
You're hurting my hand!
Get going! You stay away from Mrs. Grimes.
In just a moment, we will return for the concluding act of... Suspense.
Those of us who live in cities and localities where regular letter carriers drop off our mail probably never wonder how mail is handled in places where almost nobody lives, where there just isn't anything and not much reason for going there. But the Postmaster General thought about it, and he did something about it. Now, the post office doesn't operate regular routes to these places because there isn't enough mail to pay to have a regular postman. But these lonely ones, such as prospectors in the Nevada mountains or trappers in the Alaskan wilderness or Louisiana bayous, are entitled to their mail, and an answer had to be found. So the post office department set up a system of signing contracts with responsible people to deliver mail to these out-of-the-way places. These routes are known as star routes. Deliveries are made usually to boxes, same as RFD boxes, that stand deserted in some barren waste or along a rarely traveled river. Star route carriers use cars, horses, mules, rowboats, dog sleds, airplanes. Sometimes they walk. Whatever they need, they use to deliver the mail. I'll bet being a star route postman could be a lot of fun, but rugged.
It's me, sweet child. Your papa went to the pub, said it was Thursday night.
Mrs. Grimes, I'm confused. Has Jimmy been here?
Jimmy's with you, isn't he?
It was so strange, Mrs. Grimes. We saw some Bobbies and he ran. Why did he run, Mrs. Grimes? Why did he? Why?
Did it spoil your picnic?
Of course he did. Where is he? Why did he run, Mrs. Grimes?
Well, he was always so headstrong and always so mixed up. Was it a pretty afternoon? Did you sit down under a tree? Did he read poetry to you? Did he get that faraway look like he was a little boy when he read to you? And did you like the sound of his voice? Did his voice sound deep in his chest?
Mrs. Grimes, you have father's key. Why are you locking the door?
Did he tell you that your eyes were beautiful and your hands were pretty? And did he hold your hands?
Mrs. Grimes, will you let me out of this room? I'm sorry, but you've made me uneasy.
Everything in this world will pass, my dear. And never fear, you shall be released to join. Oh, Miss Shirley, tell me more about Jimmy. Did he make up a little rhyme to suit the occasion? And did he... Oh, that poor girl in Regent's Park. Jimmy was so fond of her. I had to follow her one day and make a daisy chain. But in Bognor Regis, I couldn't find any daisies. So I brought some all the way from Hampstead Heath. What? A miserable journey on the train, but the little vixen in Hampstead Heath knew how strong I was before I gathered the daisies.
So,
Jimmy was always so fond of picnics and would go dashing off. So I have a beautiful daisy chain for you, my dear Sharon. And I also have strong, sinewy hands.
No.
Wonderfully strong like Jimmy's.
Father! Father!
Now poor Jimmy will really hang. But I'd rather let the hangman get him than you. Than you or any other girl. Better the hangman than you.
Mrs. Burns, stop.
You see, you're very pretty, but I am stronger, you see. Sharon, you are so pretty. It is too bad. And the others, they were so pretty.
Sharon. It's me. It's me, Jimmy.
Relax, Mrs. Grimes. Let go now.
Jimmy.
Come along with you. All right. Take Mrs. Grimes out of here.
Sharon, are you all right?
Who is my father?
I'm Inspector Crist, young lady. Your father's right here. Sorry to have made you a sitting duck, so to speak, but we've been outwitted by this Mrs. Grimes for one entire year. And she's really Mrs. Mabel Dodds, Jimmy's foster mother.
I was in on it too, Sharon. That is, at the very last I was in on it. You'll forgive your father?
Me too, Sharon? You know, everybody thought I was the Daisy Chain murderer until Scotland Yard got suspicious and they arranged my escape. Ah, you think we can... You think we can ever have a civilized picnic?
Oh, Jimmy.
Can you ever have a picnic with a man who already has an image cast at Madame Tussauds?
I'll think about it.
Suspense. In tonight's story were John Clark as Jimmy, Joan Loring as Sharon, and Jane Rose as Mrs. Grimes. Others in the cast were Brett Morrison, Marvin Peisner, and Mercer McLeod. Listen again next week when we return with End of the Line by Murray Burnett, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Suspense on Tuned to Yesterday from the 26th of June 1960 on CBS. In that last broadcast, we heard the voice of character actor Brett Morrison, who at one time was radio's shadow, taking over for the departing Orson Welles in the early 1940s. At the point of that last broadcast, he had not been heard as Lamont Cranston for about 6 years, instead starring in broadcasts of Suspense, the sci-fi show on NBC, X-1, and in character parts on the Office of Civil and Defense Mobilization Program By the People, which brought stories of Americana from Tales from the White House to the Pilgrims' founding of the colony in Plymouth. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levionier, and now it's The Whistler from Valentine's Day 1943 on CBS, featuring J. Donald Wilson's story, The Legacy of Death.
Have you heard the strange tales of The Whistler?
I'm the Whistler.
I no longer see fearful things in the night. All that has changed. Night and the shadows are friendly. Now it is the daylight that frightens me.
Another Sunday night, and again CBS presents The Whistler.
I, the Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. And so I tell you tonight the unusual story of Legacy of Death. It was 10 years ago that Henry Mitchell, formerly a biologist, married Martha Holliston, the widow of a wealthy cotton grower. Martha continued to direct the business of the plantation with the aid of Henry as overseer. She had one child, a daughter, by her deceased husband, a girl named Doreen. Now the mother lies on her deathbed. She's been ill for almost a year and grown steadily weaker.
It won't be long now, Henry. And there's something I must tell you. Something you must promise to do for me.
Yes, Martha, I'll do anything.
It's about my daughter. Doreen is 21 now. She's a woman, and she'll be thinking of marriage soon.
I know, Martha.
I've watched her every move, raised her carefully. I've been stern in my opinions regarding her. And perhaps at times I've seemed too strict.
Yes, Martha, but a mother knows best.
Doreen has always been an odd child. You've mentioned that yourself many times. And as she grew older, she became more strange each day. A peculiar, exotic mind. She must still be guarded and handled carefully until she reaches 30.
What are you trying to say, Martha?
Doreen is the last of her father's line. And from that line, she's inherited something horrible.
What? You mean insanity?
No, not insanity.
Not insanity? Well...
But a horrible tendency. It skipped her father. If it appears at all, it always occurs in the early 20s. If it doesn't appear by the time they reach 30, then they're safe.
But what is it, Martha? What has she inherited?
The tendency to murder.
Murder? Good Lord.
She must be handled delicately. Gently, like a flower. Treated as a minor until she's 30. And if she suffers no emotional upset by then, she's safe. Love. Deep love. Paves the way for possible emotional upsets. Jealousy. Hatred and fear.
But it may skip her.
You must promise me that you'll care for her as you would your own daughter.
Yes, dear, I promise.
According to her father's request, I've left the estate to Doreen, with you as trustee and manager, at a yearly salary.
Yes, yes, Martha, that's very good of you.
Until she's 30, she must have your consent in every matter, particularly marriage.
Yes.
If she defies you regarding marriage, then you must tell her the truth, but only then.
I understand, Martha. Oh, please, please don't say any more.
Now that I've told you, I can rest so much easier.
I'll send Doreen in now, dear. I'll be just outside.
Henry, you're a darling.
Doreen stepped into the room, knelt at her mother's bedside, and a few minutes later, Martha was gone. Now 6 months have passed, and Henry has hired another overseer, young Irving Wallace, a graduate of Agricultural University. Irving has fallen madly in love with the strange, unpredictable Doreen.
Do you realize, Doreen, I almost turned down the offer to take this job, and something kept saying to me, take it, take it. And I did, darling. I don't know why at the time, but now I know.
Good night. I love the night, the river, and the moon.
What?
Daytime and the sun unnerve me. I'm never at ease, never able to think clearly. Till the sun goes down and I see the moon on the river.
It is pretty.
When I was a little girl, I was always frightened of the dark. I fancied all sorts of horrors waiting for me in every shadow.
Yes?
Now, in the last year or two, I've somehow lost my fear of the darkness. I no longer see things in the night. Night and the shadows are friendly. It's the daylight that frightens me.
Doreen, what are you trying to say?
What?
What sort of talk is this? What's happened to you, Doreen? You've changed. You've grown distant and detached. We come down here to the river now, and you just stare at the moon and talk in riddles. I don't understand it.
No? I don't either.
Well, I don't like it, darling. Well, it's not natural.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean I don't approve of such ideas coming from the woman I love.
You don't?
I want my wife to be normal. I don't want her to be afraid of the daylight and come to her senses only at night.
What right have you to say what I shall like? And what do you mean by your wife?
What? Doreen, I thought...
Did I ever say I'd marry you?
No, but what else would I think?
Did I ever say I loved you?
Well, you surely gave no indication that you didn't. What's wrong with you, Doreen? Doreen! Oh, please, darling, tell me what's wrong. What have I done?
Nothing. Done nothing.
Do you mean you don't want to marry me?
I don't know. I'm afraid.
Oh, darling, if you only knew how I worship you.
I'm just afraid. Afraid of all men.
What an awful thought.
Please go. Please, leave me alone.
I can't understand you, Doreen.
Please go, Irving.
All right. I'll go if you insist. But please don't stay here long. It's almost midnight.
What?
Nothing, darling. Nothing. I saw the light in the library, Mr. Mitchell, and I wanted to talk to you. Have you noticed anything strange about your stepdaughter lately?
Strange?
I mean about her behavior, her actions.
Not particularly.
Well, I just left her down on the riverbank, and she's talking a lot of nonsense.
Nonsense? And what were you doing down at the riverbank at this time of night?
I may as well tell you. I'm in love with Doreen. I want to marry her.
Marry?
Yes.
I knew nothing of this.
Well, I suppose it's only natural. It's just the way it happens. But, well, really, Mr. Mitchell, I love her so much that I...
Never mind. You needn't say any more. Good heavens.
Is it such a shock? After all, she's a woman. What's wrong, Mr. Mitchell? Are you ill?
No, I'm just... What did you say about Doreen acting strangely?
Well, in the last few days, she's changed. She's acting in a weird sort of manner.
Weird?
Yes. She says that the daylight frightens her, and she loves the dark and the moon.
Tell me, is Doreen in love with you?
Well, I certainly thought she was. She led me to believe so. Until tonight.
And had you talked of marriage?
Well, not until this evening. But I thought the idea was mutual. Then all of a sudden, she turned cold. Well, that's why I came to you. Maybe she's ill or something.
Yes. Yes, Irving, she is ill.
What?
Sit down, my boy. You really love her.
Oh, more than I can tell.
You have only her best interest at heart?
I do.
Thank heaven you told me this in time. I'm going to ask a sacrifice of you, Irving. You must stay away from Doreen. You must say no more to her about love or marriage.
Why not? I love her.
Then you'll do as I say. Keep out of her way as much as possible. I know that seems hard, but for her own good, you must.
What do you mean? What's wrong?
I see, I have to tell you the truth. Since this has happened, I must tell you. Doreen has inherited something that may lie dormant, but which under emotional stress may appear without warning.
You're trying to frighten me?
Oh, no. Doreen has inherited a tendency to...
To what?
To murder.
Murder? Oh, I can't believe it.
Yes. It's a strain in her father's family. It appears only in the 20s, but if it doesn't appear before 30, the person is safe from the malady.
Right. Just doesn't seem possible.
I promised her dear mother I'd do my best to protect her from emotional disturbance of any kind until she reached 30. Now, do you understand?
Yes, I understand you, but... Well, I'm not cold.
You say she's acting strangely. That may be an indication. And you must do your part to help by staying away from her.
Very well. I will. If it's for her own good.
It is, Irving. Believe me.
Irving keeps his word, and difficult as it is, he avoids Doreen. Then a few weeks later, Henry Mitchell's handsome young brother, his only living relative, Clyde Mitchell, a wealthy Hollywood writer whom Henry hadn't seen in years, drops in unexpectedly.
Well, Clyde, you've been doing very well in Hollywood, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. Hollywood's been good to me. I've made a fortune. And I've handled my money in a better fashion than most of them. Every dollar I get is turned over to a manager, and he invests it for me. I couldn't write my name to a check for $500 if I wanted to.
Good. I'm glad to hear you finally got some sense.
Why did you give up your biological research?
Oh, I haven't entirely given it up. I still dabble in agricultural biology.
You seem to be doing all right, Henry. This is a nice plantation, nice home. I'm sorry I didn't get to meet your wife. She had a daughter, didn't she?
Yes, she's here. Doreen, strange girl, most unusual.
No children of your own, Henry?
None. You and I are the last of our line. We're the only living ones of the family. It's up to you to carry on the name, Clyde.
Yes. Well, I suppose I'll get around to that sooner or later. I'm engaged. Expect to be married this summer. Maybe before.
Hollywood girl?
She lives in Hollywood, but she came from Boston. One of the Harrington girls.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know anyone was here.
Oh, come in, Doreen. Come in. This is my brother, Clyde.
Clyde? I'm glad you know you, Clyde.
Doreen. What a charming name.
Clyde is a movie writer. Been quite successful in Hollywood.
Oh, now, don't tie me down to pictures, Henry. I've written a few novels, too.
Yes, I know. You wrote Moon in the River.
Guilty?
I was terribly impressed by it. It was out of this world.
I have a fan.
Are you staying for a while?
Oh, a few days. I like it here.
Do you? I'm glad. Well, I'll leave you alone now. I know you want to talk. Good night.
Nice girl. I said she's a nice girl.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, she's gorgeous. I've never seen such red hair, such strange eyes. Why, they're hypnotic. Red hair and green eyes. What did you say?
I didn't say anything, Clyde.
Why have you brought me down here tonight, Doreen?
The river, Clyde. The moon in the river. Look at it. A stream of silver and gold flowing on and on. Down to the sea. To the melting pot. To eternity.
Yes. It's very beautiful.
That's your river. Moon and the river. You made me conscious of that, Clyde. It breathes and lives. That's why I've come to love the night and hold no fear of the dark.
You mean you're at ease in the dark?
At night I'm soothed and the moon thrills me. The moon and the river. And they mean the same to you.
The same?
They must. Or you could never have written as you did. You and I are the same, Clyde. We see alike. Look at me, Clyde.
Yes?
Why don't you say it? I know what you're thinking. Say it.
Doreen,
You love me. No, no, don't turn away. Look in my eyes and say it. I love you.
I love you, Doreen.
And I love you, darling. Oh, Clyde, dear. If you only knew what it meant to me, your coming here 2 weeks ago. You've saved me, Clyde. Saved me.
But you don't understand, Doreen. It's all wrong. Everything is wrong.
Look at me, Clyde. Look. Everything is right. Just as it was intended. Isn't it?
But you must listen.
Hold me close, Clyde. Kiss me.
Doreen, darling, I...
Yes, dearest. What are you trying to tell?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh,
I can't think.
Nothing else matters. Nothing is real but our love. And the moon and the river. And you won't leave me, Clyde, ever. I won't let you.
Doreen, please. This can't go on. It isn't right. I've got to get away.
You won't leave. You can't leave me because you love me.
Yes. Yes, Helen, help me. I must be mad. But I do. I do love you. But I just can't seem to...
Don't say a word, dear. Just us. And the moon. And the river.
Clyde.
Yes, Henry?
Come into the library. I've just been talking with Irving. Said you were walking down by the riverbank a while ago.
Yes, I was. That is,
What's wrong with you, Clyde? What's happened?
I don't know, Henry. I'm leaving in the morning.
Leaving?
I must. I've got to get back to Hollywood. I'm getting married, you know.
Next summer, you said?
What did I? Well, I've decided to get married as soon as possible.
Clyde, I know where you've been. You've been with Doreen. Irving told me.
Yes. I was with Doreen. I don't know what's happened to me since I've been here. But I do know I mustn't stay another day. I'm leaving in the morning.
You've fallen in love with Doreen?
I don't know, Henry. I don't know what's wrong.
Is she in love with you? Is that it?
Yes, she is. I tried to fight it off, but... Well, it's just I lost all sense of logic.
Doreen is a strange creature, Clyde.
I'm certainly aware of that. It seems to... I'm powerless to keep away from her. I mustn't stay longer. I'm leaving the first thing in the morning.
I'm sorry to see you go, Clyde. I'd hoped you'd stay longer, but perhaps under the circumstances it's best. I only wish I were free to go with you.
You can come along if you want.
No, I can't leave, Clyde.
Because of Doreen? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, Clyde. I can't leave her alone for a single moment.
What's wrong with her? There's something odd about her, and you know what it is.
Does she know you're leaving?
No. No, I tried to tell her.
I see. And I'd better tell her.
Yes. Good night, Henry.
Clyde climbs the stairs and goes to his room. Henry stands in the door of the library, lost in thought. A few moments pass, and Doreen comes into the hallway from outside and starts for the stairs.
Doreen?
Yes?
Come in.
What is it?
I've just learned that you've become infatuated with my brother.
Infatuated?
And before it becomes more serious, I want to warn you that it'll be a mistake for you to fall in love.
What do you mean? Why shouldn't I fall in love?
Well... Don't you think it'd be better to learn more about a man before you allow your emotions to carry you off your feet?
I don't understand you. Why should I wait?
It'll be better if you do. Please believe me.
What's the reason back of all this?
Well, I... Doreen, I hate to tell you this...
Why don't you say it? What is it?
You have... You're making a fool of yourself. I mean, Clyde is making a fool of you.
That isn't what you were going to say.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. I know my brother better than you. He isn't serious about you. Well, he's never been serious about any woman. He never will be. He isn't the type. Believe me, he doesn't love you.
I don't believe you. I know he loves me. I know. And I'm going to marry him.
Mary?
Yes.
You poor girl. I'm terribly sorry for you. Clyde was here a few minutes ago. I asked him about you, and he told me that he wasn't in love with you. You see, my dear, he's engaged to another woman. He's going back in the morning to be married.
Married?
If he had been serious, he'd have told you the truth. I'm sorry this had to happen to you. I've tried my best to keep you from falling in...
What did you say? Go on, finish.
I said that... Oh, please, Doreen, don't become upset.
You tried to keep me from falling in love. That's what you were going to say.
Doreen, you must...
Why didn't you want me to fall in love? Why?
Now, Doreen, control yourself.
Do you know what I'm thinking?
Doreen...
I despise you. I hate you.
Oh, no, you don't understand.
You don't want me to marry Clyde. You don't want me to marry anybody. And I know why. You're lying to me. You told him something to drive him away.
I've told him nothing, and I'm not lying.
I'll find out in just a moment.
Wait, Doreen, wait. I didn't want to tell you, but I see now that I must. You see, my dear, you've inherited a complex, something that lies dormant and may be brought into action under emotional stress.
Inherited a complex?
Yes. A tendency to murder.
Murder?
And that's why I've tried to keep you from falling in love, from subjecting yourself to emotional stress.
So that's what you told him. Another lie.
Oh, no.
So I've inherited a desire to kill. Does anyone else know that?
Yes, I had to tell Irving.
I see. Good night.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Mr. Mitchell.
Oh, no. Come in, Irving, come in.
I wanted to talk to you about... Hello, Doreen. I said, what's the matter with you, Doreen?
Nothing. Nothing is the matter.
You look as though you... Doreen, what is it? Are you ill?
Yes, I am ill. Haven't you heard?
Doreen!
Good night, both of you.
What's wrong with her? I've never seen her like this. Do you suppose...
I had to tell her, Irving. I had to.
Then it's happened. She snapped. I can tell.
I don't know what to do now.
I just talked to Clyde. I told him he had to leave at once. The sooner the better. And I told him why. I told him about Doreen. I begged him to go for her sake. He only laughed at me. Told me to tend to my own business.
Well, Clyde tells her the truth, which he will. She's liable to snap completely.
But what can we do?
I know what to do. When Clyde tells her, she'll turn violently against him. He's got to leave on the first train in the morning, but tonight she may do something. I'll change rooms with Clyde after she talks to him.
What can I do?
Nothing, Irving. Just try to forget it. Oh, you can get me some coffee. I've got to stay awake tonight.
Doreen. What is it?
I want to ask you something, Clyde.
What?
Are you leaving in the morning?
Well, yes, Doreen, I am.
Why?
I have some business to attend to.
Why are you leaving me, Clyde? Why don't you take me with you?
Take you? But I can't do that.
Why didn't you tell me you were leaving?
Well, it came up all of a sudden.
Oh, did it? What did your brother tell you about me?
He didn't tell me anything.
No? I love you, Clyde.
But
you can't leave without me.
I can't take you with me, Doreen. It's impossible.
Why is it?
Because I'm going to be married.
Married?
Yes. I wanted to tell you, but...
Married? I thought you loved me, Clyde.
Oh, Doreen, I can't stay here any longer. I can't go on like this.
Why didn't you tell me you loved someone else? Why?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Are you afraid of me?
I'm leaving in the morning, Doreen. That's definite.
Good night, Clyde.
Doreen,
Goodbye, darling.
Now, the next morning. Breakfast is set early since the first train leaves at 8:30. At 7, Doreen, her face pale, deep shadows under her green eyes, comes slowly down the stairs to the sunroom.
Good morning, Doreen.
Morning.
Sit down, Doreen. Did you rest well?
No.
I didn't sleep so well either. Guess the storm disturbed me.
Was there a storm?
Yes, an electrical storm. Didn't you hear it?
I don't remember. What time does the train leave?
8:30. Clyde will be down in a few minutes.
Mr. Mitchell.
Yes?
Mr. Bolton would like to see you.
Oh. Tell him to come in.
Morning, Mr. Mitchell.
Morning, Bolton.
This is Mr. Davis, my assistant. This is Dr. Upton.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Gentlemen, this is my daughter, Doreen, and this is my superintendent, Irving Wallace.
Yes, I know. How are you, Irving?
What are you doing here?
May we see the body, Mr. Mitchell?
Yes, Sheriff.
Sheriff!
Body? Well, what's happened?
Clyde has been murdered.
Clyde?
Murdered? Why, murdered?
Yes, during the night.
Clyde?
Come along, gentlemen. Upstairs.
The sheriff and his deputy make the routine inspection of the room and the body. And after the coroner completes his examination, they return to the breakfast room.
I'm afraid I am to blame for this unfortunate circumstance. My wife begged me to keep her from emotional upset. I did my best, but I'm afraid it wasn't enough. I never dreamed she was falling in love with Clyde. When I learned about it, it was too late. I made a mistake by telling her. It only upset her the more.
Say she inherited this tendency to kill from her father?
Yes. Her mother made me promise to guard her carefully until she was 30. You see, it only appears in the early 20s, if at all. It lies dormant and may be brought to the fore by emotional stress.
Oh, I see. Too bad.
Did you leave your room last night, miss?
No. That is, I don't remember.
You were in love with him, and you didn't know about the other woman?
I loved him. I didn't know about the other woman till last night. I didn't kill Clyde.
You have no recollection of leaving your room?
No, I...
Will you come to town with us, miss?
Why?
Oh, we just want to talk to
Wait.
You.
Wait, I can't stand this any longer. Doreen, why, she didn't kill Clyde. I know, I killed him.
You?
But...
Here we go again, Doc. You're trying to protect her, I think, because you love her.
I do love her.
Sure you do. Where's the gun?
Gun? There's no gun. Clyde wasn't shot.
No?
No. I killed him with a sickle. A sickle from my tool shed. Now, do you believe me?
Has he seen the body, Mr. Mitchell?
No, I didn't say how he was killed, but Irving...
I killed him. I knew about Doreen, and I wanted to save her because I was jealous of Clyde.
Well, he was killed with a sickle, all right.
Yes, my sickle, from the tool shed. Now, do you believe me?
Do you know what you're saying, Irving?
I think he's shooting in the dark.
No, and I can prove it. If Doreen had entered that room and stabbed anyone, she would have killed Henry. Not Clyde, but Henry.
Why?
Because Henry was afraid of what might happen during the night. So he changed rooms with Clyde. And I was the only one who knew that. Doreen would have killed Henry.
Is that true, Mr. Mitchell?
Why, yes, we did change rooms, but...
And she didn't know that.
Well, I don't know how she could have known it, but she must have discovered the switch.
You know, I think Irving knows too many details to be lying. I think he's telling the truth.
I am. I killed him.
He didn't. Irving didn't kill him. He is trying to protect me. I remember something now.
Remember what?
If you killed him, Irving, what time was it?
It was 4 a.m.
Have you established the hour of death, Doctor?
I have.
Wait, I'll tell you. It was at midnight. 12 o'clock.
What time was he killed, Doc?
About 12 o'clock last night. Couldn't possibly have been 4.
How did you know that?
At midnight, I went to Clyde's room to talk to him. I was awakened by a horrible dream. It frightened me, so I went to his room. Clyde wasn't there. No one was there. So if Henry was occupying that room, then he was not there at midnight. Henry must have been in Clyde's room.
What?
Henry must have killed Clyde.
What? Why would I kill my own brother?
For the same reason you killed my mother.
Oh, nonsense.
I've been suspicious of you ever since Mother died.
What?
I know you've looted my estate.
Now, look.
That's why you didn't want me to marry. And you were your brother's only heir. He was wealthy and his money could save you. You knew I was suspicious of you.
Why, this is ridiculous.
So you killed Clyde for his money and tried to blame it on me because you knew I'd be suspected. That's why you told Irving about my hereditary tendency.
Why, she's crazy, gentlemen. Completely insane.
Examine my mother's body. Check the account.
She's mad at
you. Mr. Mitchell, do you believe she inherited this tendency to murder?
Why, certainly. Her mother warned me of all this.
You're a biologist, aren't you, Mitchell?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was.
You still are, Dr. Henry Mitchell.
Well, I still dabble in biology, only as it concerns agriculture. Mm-hmm.
I recently read an article you wrote a few years ago in which you proved the one thing that was not hereditary was a criminal instinct. That such tendencies were the result of environment. You proved that.
Well...
And you knew from the beginning that the mother was merely a victim of a false belief. But you used that belief to suit your own purpose. It all adds up against you, Mitchell.
We'll just follow through with the girl's advice about your wife's body. And I wouldn't be at all surprised by the results of the autopsy. Let's go, Doc.
They did follow through on Doreen's advice, and they did find her estate rifle, and they found traces of poison in the mother's body, so Henry confessed. If it hadn't been for Doreen's psychic powers, he'd have gotten away with everything. Oh, yes, Doreen was definitely psychic, because she said she went to the room at midnight and no one was there, but she did not go to the room. But she did wake up at the start at midnight. She knew something terrible was happening, but didn't know what it was till this morning. She put things together and knew the truth. And Irving knew about the sickle because he missed it from its rack, and he was merely guessing. But it all worked out to a successful conclusion, and Doreen need have no further worry about her so-called inherited criminal tendency, because there is no such thing. I know.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The Whistler is written and directed by J. Donald Wilson and originates from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Next week, same time.
I, The Whistler, will return to tell you another unusual story. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Whistler, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 14, 1943 on CBS. And that brings down the curtain on this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.